2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Dave and Dejanovic.
We pulled Boyd Matheson into studio to sit in for Dave Noriega today, and it was a short walk from his desk to the studio, and I just gave you the evil mob look. I'm like, look, if you don't sit in for Dave today, there will be a price to pay. So Boyd thinks the reason that President Joe Biden has stalled with chunks of his political agenda is he's too much of a people pleaser. Don't worry. Be happy. So before we get into the nitty-gritty of what the problem is for the president, Boyd, explain this people-pleaser side of President Biden and why it's getting in his way of getting stuff done.
Well, one of the things that has made him a very effective politician is his ability to connect with people. And he does like to be liked, and he wants people on side. And so he's good at those relationship things. That's why he was effective in the United States Senate. But it's very hard to lead if you're trying to please everyone. And right now he's trying to please people who are just not even close to being on the same page, and many of them are in his own party. He has problems with the Republicans for sure, but that's normal. He knows what to do about that.
But it's your own family.
What he doesn't know what to do is how do I deal with the far left of the Democratic Party? What do I do with the Squad and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and those who are just pushing so far to the left that it's actually making it hard for the president to, I think, implement what he wants to implement in terms of an agenda.
So let's pick apart a few policies that President Biden is hitting the wall on. Let's start with immigration reform, because he came into office with big dreams.
Within 100 days, I'm going to send to the United States Congress a pathway to citizenship for over 11 million undocumented people.
Instead, he sent the vice president to another country to deal with immigration reform, right, or to talk about it.
Yeah, not even to the border, but to Guatemala and to Mexico. And again, those conversations are interesting, but very challenging for the vice president because the messages have been mixed. Remember, the first message from President Biden was, we're going to reunite families at the border. That's what we're going to do. That's going to be our focus. And then the vice president has to go to Guatemala and say, don't come to the border. Don't come to the border. And the Guatemalan president came out yesterday and said, but you've been telling our people that if they can get their children to the border, they can be reunited with their children at the border.
And people in Guatemala are not watching every development in this discussion in the United States. And so they are being targeted by coyotes who make promises,
that's
and they're
right.
sending their kids to the border.
Yeah, that's right. And then a lot of the challenges, too, is there are no quick fixes in any of these countries. I do think the vice president was absolutely right in saying, you know, people don't want to go to the border, but they are looking for opportunity and upward mobility. And in order to make that happen, you can't just dump money into that northern triangle of South America and expect that to happen. We have failed at that around the world. Dumping money in does not build a democracy. It just doesn't.
We're talking about why President Joe Biden is hitting the wall with so many of his policies in just such short order. And Boyd says a lot of that comes down to trying to make everybody happy, and he's not even making members of his own party happy. Let's talk about what every parent in America wants to talk about.
College, community college. They should be free, in my view. There goes that big spending Biden again, man.
Yeah, there goes that big. Where's the free community college, Boyd? Where is a free community college? It's now officially too late for my three kids.
Yeah, that's right. And
I guess unless they want to go back.
That's right. Four out of five of mine are done, too. So we're off of that
where
bandwagon.
Where is that big big promise.
You know, unless it has also been declared to be infrastructure, which is still possible.
That's our next point.
It's still
boy.
Possible.
Don't get ahead of yourself here.
It has been just into the prop wash. And this is something that every administration.
Into the what?
The prop wash. You know, the stuff behind the boat that's just kind of the chum and the churn that goes on.
Oh, I know what the prop wash is. Okay.
That's kind of where it falls because there are so many things going on. It is so hard for an administration to really drive an agenda these days. Not because people don't agree on a lot of the policies. I actually think the vast majority of members of Congress agree with the president on the vast majority of the immigration issue. The problem is the politics of it all.
But I've never heard of a way he plans on paying for free community college. Have you? Am I missing that? I mean, there was something that he threw out there, but I don't think it was anything that resonated with the states. Yeah. And these community college budgets are huge.
That's right. I'm so glad you raised the point of the states, Debbie, because that is also where the president is bumping up against things, is the states are saying, we don't want the federal government dealing with all of these things. We can do this better on our own, and it's the way it's supposed to be. Even things like infrastructure. In Utah, we know every governor from Mike Leavitt forward has said we can do twice as much with half the money if we can do it our way as opposed to having to do it the federal government way.
Let's dive into that infrastructure plan he unveiled a few weeks ago. It's more than a $1 trillion plan. It's hitting a wall, too.
That's right. And remember, it started at $2.3 trillion. And then
you put it on sale.
And then it was on sale. And then the Republicans went up because the Republicans have no ground to stand on when it comes to spending either. First, they just said it was too expensive. But now the Republicans have gone up to over $1 trillion. So now they're just a measly $700 billion apart on a deal on infrastructure.
So is it the Republicans that hate the idea or is it his own party that is causing him grief?
I think he has more problems within his party. And you're seeing a lot of that play out and manifested in one Joe Manchin Democrat from West Virginia.
Because, I mean, he's throwing up the wall for Biden in not only this, but the Democrats in general and the voter rights bill.
Right.
I want to get back to infrastructure in a second. But
yeah,
let's,
voter
let's
rights,
on that.
Filibuster, a host of things. There are a lot of folks in that center left to center right category in this country that are saying the far left is too far left. The far right is too far right. And it's getting to that middle ground in terms of here's something that's rational. Here's something that's reasonable. Here's something that's affordable. Here's something that's sustainable. Those are always the tests.
You've got the inside sources. And so what do you feel is wrong with the infrastructure package?
It has so many things that are not infrastructure. Tax reform is not infrastructure. Healthcare is not infrastructure.
What?
The Jazz winning the playoffs is not infrastructure.
It does feel like he threw everything at the wall.
And the kitchen sink.
So he actually had me on this one. I was a champ for this in the beginning. The wordsmithing on the unveiling of this originally $1 trillion package, I thought it was pretty convincing. We've got to think outside the box. For example, electric car stations where you can charge your car. That became part of the infrastructure package. But as it started to stall, if you will, I started thinking through this. Wouldn't that be the same as paying for regular old unleaded gas stations?
Yeah, it's taking everything down about seven steps beyond what the federal government should be doing.
And then they're upping the pay for hospice care workers, while I think they do an incredible job. At some point, this was tossed into the salad of infrastructure, and I was trying to convince myself that people were infrastructure too. I'm kind of leaning toward your side of this now, Boyd. It needs to be separated. It's separated out.
It does. And actually, I think if the president would have done that, I think if he would have come in with very targeted, very specific bills. So let's do one bill that does roads, bridges, airports, waterways, and internet provider. Let's do one bill that does just these three things. Rather than having these 2,000-page bills that have everything from healthcare workers in it to whoever is on salad today, I don't know, everything thrown in, that is the problem. And that is part of the reason why it stalled. Because think of it this way. If it was a very focused bill, then you would have to have an open debate on it in front of the American people and a vote. And you could actually say, you wouldn't give people
the
excuses.
You knew what you were voting for.
Exactly.
You knew what, or Congress knew what they were voting for. We would understand what was going on.
And then we, the people, could hold them accountable.
Sometimes I say it out loud. Sometimes I say it in my head, Boyd for Congress.
Don't say that out loud.
Shoot for the stars, Boyd for president. Boyd, it's been fun to have you in. You're not going anywhere. You're with me until 11:15. We're not going to let you move from that seat. Straight ahead, I want to have this discussion with you. I wonder if it's time for a vaccine lottery here in Utah for COVID-19 vaccines, because I just got an email back from the Ohio Department of Health. They were first out of the gates in terms of launching a vaccine lottery. And I'm going to tell you what that email said. I'm very impressed with how much success they've had getting people vaccinated in Ohio once they started giving away cash.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.